Amen.
Hallelujah. So, glory to God. As I said, I'm going to try and just come back where we kind of left all this morning. Maybe a tiny little bit of revision. We'll see how it goes. But, hallelujah. First things first. Why? Because the main thing is to keep the main thing. The main thing. Jesus' vision statement, I will build my church. Amen. His mission statement. And we need to understand, see, we've been taught that the enemy hates the prophetic. He hates the prophetic. He doesn't mind people just regurgitating stuff. He did that himself with Jesus. He even tried bringing the word to Jesus, remember? Yes. In his temptation in the wilderness. He tried to quote Psalm 91. But Jesus wasn't having none of it. Amen? Yes. Come on, man. The devil's not afraid to spout the word. In fact, he believes it a lot more than some of the Christians do. The Bible says the devil believes and he trembles. All of his demonic realm tremble when they hear the word coming prophetically. And when Jesus read his mission statement and when he took the scroll of Isaiah back in his home synagogue in Nazareth, and he took the scroll of Isaiah and opened it up and began to read what was his mission statement, I believe. His mission statement was his plan to towards the fulfillment, how to outwork the fulfillment of his vision statement. I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. This will be an unstoppable church. This will be an overcoming church. As he began to read, he took the scroll of Isaiah. Why? Because that was the prophetic word. That was a prophetic word spoken hundreds of years before by Isaiah. There it was, written words, letters on a scroll. But Jesus stood up and he began to speak it forth, and it was a fulfillment. It was the fulfillment of that word. Amen. And the enemy hates the prophetic. As soon as Jesus came out of the wilderness encounter, full of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, instantly he was a target that he hadn't been before. He was a target that he hadn't been before for 30 years. Prior to that, he was a target when King Herod got wind, and that spirit that was working in him got wind that there was a king being born. Come on now. The prophecy was being fulfilled. The enemy comes after the prophetic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Just said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What was he telling us? The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is the main thing. You can do church without the Holy Spirit, but you can never be the church without the Holy Spirit.
No.
The Holy Spirit represents himself. You can misrepresent the Father. Religious spirits can misrepresent the Father. You can turn the God the Father into anything you want. You can turn him into a tyrant. Come on. Some folks will still say amen. Religious spirits can turn even Jesus into anything you want. He can just be a great teacher. Come on. Guy with a lot of wisdom. Guy whose example is worthy of following. But when the Holy Spirit shows up, he represents himself.
Hallelujah.
And he reveals the truth about the Father and the Son. Hallelujah. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Glory to God. So I said there's a couple of things, because I recognize there's a particular spirit that hates the prophetic, that manifests to really destroy, to silence the prophetic. And so that's that Jezebel spirit. I don't like giving a lot of a platform to any of that stuff really very much, but sometimes we need to be aware. You need to turn up our awareness sometimes of the things that are coming against you to shut you down. Why? Because you're a prophetic people. The enemy wants to shut you down. If he can't completely remove you from the scene, he wants to silence you. He wants to shut you up. And that spirit's been doing a great job out there. The church has been silenced. It's been robbed of its prophetic voice. As I said, every time you hear political correctness from now on, just recognize that's a pseudonym for Jezebel. It's not that Jezebel doesn't like the prophetic. Jezebel loves the false prophetic. Jezebel kills the true prophetic, silences the true prophetic, and then rolls in the false prophetic.
Yeah.
It wasn't that Jezebel wanted to sit around and without any prophets. No, no, she rolled in her own prophets.
Right.
Yeah. So I said that, and when King Ahab married Jezebel and made her his queen, she was the daughter of, I think it was Ethbaal, the king of the Sidonians. She brought him in and she began to corrupt and influence him immediately. But that was the first time that this spirit was kind of given a name. That spirit had existed long before then. Come on now.
Yes.
But it helps us sometimes just to recognize what's going on. And Jesus mentioned this name again, of course, in the church, when he was speaking to the church in Thyatira, and as recorded in Revelation 2, we'll read that in a minute again. But I said this morning that there was a couple of things I just wanted to share with you. The first thing I shared with you this morning was the dream that I had on Thursday morning past, and where the Lord showed me that Jezebel has been successful in the church on this island in the past, mm-hmm. in silencing the prophetic and shutting things down, mm-hmm. and it's still around and still looking for ways to cut off that prophetic voice. Because it's the prophetic voice that makes a difference. It's the prophetic voice that ushers in change. It's the prophetic voice that heralds transformation, supernatural transformation. Because the prophetic voice is the voice that says, this is what the Holy Spirit is saying. This is not my opinion. This is not what so-and-so said. It's easy enough to quote so-and-so. And what so-and-so said may have been relevant when they said it. But it might not be relevant anymore.
Yeah.
The prophetic voice says, and is not afraid to say, this is what God says.
Amen.
Thus says the Lord. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying right now, at this moment. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema word that God speaks. Not just taking the Logos and trying to turn it into anything that fits your situation. No. Every rhema, every word that God takes from the Logos and breathes. We've been singing that. It's your breath in our lungs. He breathes his life into that word and he makes it a now word, a living word. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
That's what we live by. You don't live by what so-and-so said 20, 30 years ago.
No.
Mm-hmm. You live by what God's saying right now.
That's right.
I need to hear what he's saying to me right now. Right now. Revelation 2, 19 to 21. I know your deeds. Jesus speaking to this church in Thyatira. I know you. I mean, it's awesome. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Commendation.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, he said, I have this against you. You tolerate or you allow it. And see, the reason I don't like giving this stuff too much of a platform, because I know what Jesus said.
Yeah.
He said, I give you authority over this stuff. So anything that's making inroads, anything that's having any measure of success in your life or in the life of the church, it's because you've allowed it.
Yeah.
Because I gave you the authority to see.
Oh.
Not in here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not around here. Yeah. We're not going to put up with you around here. He said, you tolerate, you allow, you permit, you let that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, by her teaching she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of foods to sacrifice to idols, immorality and idolatry. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. The message says, I see everything you're doing for me. Impressive. The love and the faith, the service and the persistence. Yes, very impressive. You get better at it every day. So I want to say, it's possible to be a church where good things are happening, where good things are getting done, and still be under the influence of Jezebel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you allow that to continue, then, well, read on through what the message that he brought. As I said this morning, it's not very good bedtime reading.
Yes.
But there's always hope at the end of it, isn't there?
Amen.
He that is in ear to hear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. He that overcomes will be something extra for him. Something very different for them. Come on.
Yes,
very impressive. He says, you get better at it every day, but why do you let that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, mislead my dear servants into cross-denying, self-indulging religion? I gave her a chance to change her ways, but she has no intention of giving up a career in the God business. Well, I kind of like the way it puts it. This is a good church. This church in Thyatira is a good church. Good things are happening. Many good things are happening. Some things are improving. That's why they've attracted Jezebel in the first place. Jezebel wants to defile, to either inwardly or outwardly, on the inside or on the outside, in a way that will disqualify you from true prophetic ministry. It won't that you won't continue in the God business. But you'll be disqualified from true prophetic ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But come on, we've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. So it's down to us, folks. What are we going to allow? What are we going to tolerate? What are we going to put up with? What are we going to let come in and begin to take control? As I said before, Jezebel has never been so successful as in our time. The spirit has somehow managed to silence the strong prophetic voice that speaks to the sin that is produced by brokenness. That strong prophetic voice that speaks to that sin with a clear word. That word that, and only that word can bring healing to that brokenness. Only that, the word that comes prophetically can bring healing and deliverance and remove that sin.
Yes.
Nothing else. Now, I'm going to move this forward. I need to touch on some of these things this morning. So, hallelujah. I also said, I believe that, you know, John 3:16, Jezebel wants to remove the cross.
Yes.
Because the cross is what provides the challenge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love the Psalms tonight because every one of them brought us back to that place of recognizing it's all down to the cross.
Yes.
As I said before, we were on this horizontal plane just journeying along, ready to fall off the end into an eternity of lostness. And God wasn't happy for that to continue. He wasn't happy for that, for us to be lost. He's not willing that any should perish, should miss their purpose, but that everyone should come to repentance, that everyone should come, not just to the cross, but through the cross.
Yes.
But if they never hear the cross, they can't come to it or through it. You know, I was just saying this yesterday, I'll just chuck this in here, maybe I'll just take what you like with it. You know, everybody wants to have a go at the Catholics for leaving Jesus on the cross. I think a few Protestants need to see Jesus on the cross.
Yes.
I think maybe when you take him off the cross and hang him around your neck, you've sanitised that cross a little bit.
Mm.
It just becomes a nice wee symbol.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus on the cross is a better reminder of why he's there. That's a wee bonus for you, isn't it?
It's good.
We need the challenge that the cross represents, because without the challenge there'll be no opportunity to choose.
Yeah.
God always gives you the opportunity to choose.
Mm, yeah.
He never lays anything on you against your will. He never crosses your will. But he crossed our path.
Yeah.
When he entered this world, he crossed that horizontal path we were on. He came from heaven. And he that's what the cross is about, where the two intersect.
Yeah.
And he gets in your face, he says, look, this is how much I love you. Will you choose the life that I've come to bring you, or will you reject me? What will you do? But you'll never get to ignore this.
Yeah.
You must never, ever, 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 ever present the gospel to anyone without a cross.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We preach Christ and Him crucified. Because if He ain't crucified for sin, that is not good news.
No.
And that choice offers people the opportunity for supernatural change and transformation that can't happen any other way.
That's right.
Come on, man. Hallelujah, what a change.
Amen. Amen.
As I was just continuing to meditate on this, just after I finished this morning, and the Lord just brought back to me, you know, Philippians 2, verses 3 to 11. You know, we've been talking a lot about humility, haven't we, over the last few months since the end of last year. And I was really blessed when Pastor Rich came last week and began, you know, one of the things he said really stuck with me, that humility is the ground in which grace grows.
Yeah.
Humble yourself. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humility is the ground. And I heard him, I thought, man, that just dovetails perfectly. Mm-hmm. Does anybody else hear that?
Yeah.
Philippians 2 verses 3 to 11, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. I'm going to empower you this evening. The Holy Spirit, I believe, wants to empower you, and he's given me a message to bring to you that will help you and empower you to be immune to Jezebel once and for all and forever. Is that good news?
Yeah.
Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you. We're speaking about this morning, this mind, this renewed mind. This new mind that doesn't think like the man of dust, thinks like the heavenly man.
Yes, right.
Doesn't have the nature of the man of dust anymore, but has the nature of the heavenly man.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they want you to cut your head off before you come into church. Just leave your mind at the door. No. God gave you a mind. God has a mind.
Yes.
He said, the thoughts that I think in my mind are way higher than the ones you think in your mind. But if you'll have a new mind, if you'll have a mind like my mind, then you'll start to think the high thoughts that I think.
Yeah.
And when you start thinking the high thoughts that I think, your ways will come up.
Yes.
And your ways will correspond with how you think.
Yes.
And you'll start living the life that you were created and designed to live.
That's right.
The life of the heavenly man. Come on now.
Yes.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. You know that you and I were recreated in the image of God the moment we were born again?
Yes.
He did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance. As I said this morning, we're not here to minister from the position of sons of God. Jesus never did. And if he didn't do it, he was showing the way for us. He was setting the example for us. Come on, somebody.
Yeah. Yes.
He always ministered as the Son of Man.
Yes.
He never stopped being the Son of God.
No.
But he never ministered from that place. When we were born again, we became sons of God. But we don't minister from that place. We minister as the sons of men. Or the heavenly man. The man that God intended us to be from the beginning. Plus. He did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself. Many people are saying, God, do this, do that. And God says, let me make yourself. God said, I've already done everything I'm going to do. What are you going to do? Behold, I give you the authority to do as much as you like or as little as you like. You can be as much like Jesus as you want to be. You can have as much of the power of God coming to you and through you as you want. There's no limits. All the limits are off. There's keys in here as to how this will happen. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. I mean, the wise men from the east, they weren't that smart. They went to the wrong house.
Yeah.
You know who got the right house? The shepherds. Oh, I've got something for you. You know why the wise men got the wrong house? They were following a star. Superstar. You know how many people are in the wrong house because they've fallen? Are we getting the meddling again? That's as prophetic as it gets, by the way. Do you know how many people are in the wrong house because they're following a star?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow.
The shepherds, they heard the message that came direct from heaven. Just head down the road there and you'll discover there's a king that's tonight just been born in a stable. You'll find them down there. They were the first ones. Because one just like them was being born, a shepherd. The shepherd of shepherds. The Lord who is a shepherd. God says it was only right that shepherds are the first to get to meet him. After Mary and Joseph, of course. And a couple of donkeys. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's get real.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it real. Do you like it real?
I like it real. Yes.
That's why it's called Israel. Just try to lighten a bit. You're bringing a heavy word to me, just got to try to lighten a little bit. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, as if that wasn't enough. You see, he became quite a popular man. He was actually becoming a bit of a superstar. His ministry was growing. I mean, there was a lot of people who didn't like him. There was a lot of people speaking against him. But his ministry was growing in popularity. He could have kept that thing trucking. He could have put up posters all over most towns in that region, and he'd have got a crowd.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
Without the posters.
Yes.
And just when things seemed to be taking off, things were looking real good. Things were looking like, wow, we could really make a difference round here. We could have a minister that covers all of Judea. We could really do something here. Mm-hmm. At that point, he humbled himself again.
Yeah.
He said, this is not the Father's design. Mm-hmm. This is not the Father's plan. And he turned to his disciples one day and he said, look guys, I need you to get something. This is going to be really tough for you. I know it is, but it's actually better for you that I leave. Because if I stick around, it'll just be my ministry. And we, as much as ground as we can cover in the age that we are living in with the transport that's available to us, we might be able to get a little bit done. But it'll be nothing like what happens if I go.
Yeah. Sure.
Because when I go back to heaven, I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send the Holy Spirit, the main thing. He's going to come upon every one of you.
Yeah.
And you're going to multiply this thing exponentially. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
This thing is going to take off. Do you know how many times this happens over and over and over again in ministries? Because we think success is about how many people we are reaching.
Uh-huh.
How many numbers we are getting. Because we still think like the man of dust. Not like the heavenly man. No, the heavenly man, he gets to that point and he says, I'm going to humble myself now. Again. I call it the second humbling. I've been trying to bring this message for years, and most times it hits a wall. And here we go again, folks. Come on now. He made himself no reputation. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. I want to tell you, when that doesn't happen in our lives, the cross gets removed from the message. Maybe not what we're saying, but the message that we're living. All of a sudden there becomes a kind of a break and a lack, that the integrity goes.
Yeah.
I tell you the vision that God. Let me. I was just thinking, remember this earlier. You know where the vision for this church began? That I remember, and that this real encounter with God. It was on the Pentland Road. Back in the days before the Pentland Road was tarred all the way, it was a really bumpy ride. And I remember bumpity bumpity bump, that first part from, after Briascoe to Carlaby, it was kind of tarred, but before that it was just pretty, they called it, what do they call it, a metalled kind of surface. That means there's a big rock sticking in. And I was driving home back to, we were still living in Carlaby at that time, I was driving across, and the Lord gave me an open vision, and he opened up the heavens, and I saw the glory of God. He said, the heavens are open.
Mm-hmm.
It's open heaven.
Yeah.
It's open heaven. And that vision of the glory so impacted me that I thought, it can't be church as usual anymore.
Mm.
So since then, my heart, the burning in my heart has been for people, all the people in this island and way beyond this island. But I tell you what, we're still almost we're so battering away here trying to get the people in this island to realize you live under an open heaven.
That's
the glory is here.
Right.
I've said that once, I've said that a thousand times or more. The glory is here, 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 here. And my heart is to see people across these islands. I don't care if they're small groups or big groups or medium sized groups, but then even the twos and the threes all around this island meeting together. With that revelation, Because that will bring change. That will bring transformation in every community. That will release people to go to the ends of the earth with this message.
Yeah.
I mean, you may have heard it wrong, or somebody may have told you it wrong, somebody may have told you a lie on me, but I'm not interested in being a big show. You may just have to take my word for that. I'll tell you what burns in my heart, to see every individual person on this island experiencing the fullness of everything that God has.
That's
come on, somebody.
Yeah.
That's His heart.
Yeah.
I believe that's His heart.
Yeah.
I don't have any favors among my children. I don't favor one over the other. I don't hope that one's going to do better than the other. I want everything. I want them blessed. Every one of them. And I didn't get that from myself. I got that from them. Because that's the heart of a father.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. As I was just thinking about this earlier this afternoon, I thought, you know what? You know why Jesus, when they tried to put him on a throne, why he walked away from that? Because he was showing the way for us. He was setting the example for us. He didn't need man to put him on man's throne. He knew that that would make him and then us vulnerable to Jezebel, because Jezebel always goes after the person who's sitting on the throne.
Wow.
So I said, you can choose to sit on a throne if you want. But watch out, somebody's after you, and you just made yourself a prime target. David, you know that David, that shepherd boy, he became a target. I believe the day that he took that bear and mollicated it. The same with the lion. Why? Because it was threatening his father's sheep, and he took seriously the responsibility and the authority he'd been given to protect these sheep. And I'll tell you, somebody, we got to take notice of this boy. I'll tell you, when Samuel came down there, with his wee pot of oil, and went through all of Jesse's sons, and of course David's down there, man, he's killing the bears and the lions because he takes his job seriously. Nobody thinks he could ever be the one that God would ever be interested in, or Samuel the prophet would ever be interested in. Come on, somebody. Have you got any more sons? Samuel himself was ready to grab the biggest guy, the best looking guy, and pour the oil all over him. They get to the end of it, he says, no more. Well, there's David, he's doing earlier. Well, you better get him up here right now. Do you not think that someone else was watching then?
Mm-hmm.
Went long before he was getting spears thrown at him.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it wasn't until he finally sat on the throne of Israel that Jezebel actually found a way into his life.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got a bit comfortable. The man who God's own testimony was, this is a man after my heart.
Yeah.
Do you know many people I've seen, and I'm not exaggerating, I have known at least several people personally who have had a heart after God who Jezebel has taken out.
Mm-hmm.
I shared that dream this morning, I tell you. And I've known more, and it's happening. Why? Because someone gets on a throne and they get comfortable there and they don't realize they're never supposed to sit on a throne down here.
Yes.
Jesus said, those who overcome, he said it to the church in Laodicea, that church that was lukewarm, that couldn't make up their mind whether to be hot or cold. He said to that church, he said, he that overcomes, I'll sit him down with me on my throne, even as I sat down with my father on his throne.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a throne waiting for you. It's not supposed to be down here.
That's right.
Jesus said, I'm going to reject that throne because I don't want the people coming after me to think that they have a throne here. Because as soon as they sit on that throne, Jezebel will be after them with everything that Jezebel has in its army. I don't like saying her all the time. It's an it. Functions, operates through men just as many times as it does through women. Maybe around here even more. He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. That every tongue should confess, even the demonic tongues, should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus refused man's throne because he knew that it would make us vulnerable to that wicked Jezebel. Jezebel wants you and I on the throne. Why? So that it can get in alongside us and begin to manipulate us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yes.
Use our authority to shut down the prophetic voice. Use our authority to usher in the false prophetic voice. That prophetic voice that has the cross sanitized out of it. Sometimes I'm just going to have to leave with you here, going to have to go home with them and let the Holy Spirit just woof. Like some of you, but I guarantee you, over the next few days, you're going to have some Holy Ghost explosions going on in there. I'm just laying a few landmines. As soon as David sat down on that throne and got comfortable there, one day he's having a wee walk about. Do you think that Bathsheba didn't know that she was visible to David on his balcony? I doubt it. I will leave that right there. But you see, you know what happened? For at least a year, he was shut down prophetically.
Yeah.
He wasn't writing any psalms. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he was dealing with his guilt and his shame and his condemnation. Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. And he's working in the background, trying to cover up his sin and afraid his sin is going to be exposed. Mm. What did expose his sin? That prophetic voice.
Yeah.
What happens? He's released back into the prophetic. I reckon he wrote Psalm 51 just at that time. Come on. Create, as I said, I used it this morning as an example of a heart after God that took him beyond the old covenant into what was not possible under the old. His prayer was a prayer that wasn't even possible under the old covenant. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit, a steadfast spirit within me. Give me a heart transplant. I need a heart transplant! And that's exactly what we got.
Yeah.
When we're born again. I tell you, whenever you feel intimidated to silence in regard to the message of the cross, anytime you're afraid to speak that message of the cross, you can be sure Jezebel is around.
Yeah.
I'm not talking, I'm not talking about that spirit, that false legalistic religious spirit that wants to hammer people, that's harsh and judgmental. Nor that licentious spirit, that fake licentious spirit that is soft and sentimental. We don't like the harsh and judgmental, but we our flesh kind of hangers sometimes a little bit. I don't know about you, but mine does. Because it's tough out there sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know why sometimes it's tough? It's because we haven't been doing what we've been given authority to do. And at that point, the last thing we need is soft and sentimental. Come on. We need to hear a clear word that's bathed in love, that comes from someone on their knees before you, looking up at you, maybe washing your feet at the time and saying, you know what you need? Let me tell you. Let me share from heaven God's heart towards you right now. Not harsh and judgmental, but not soft and sentimental either. Always keep the cross right there at the centre of your message. Anytime Jezebel succeeds in silencing us, it's because that spirit has exploited a place of brokenness in us. It's discovered a place of brokenness, a manifestation of the orphan spirit in us. You know what a manifestation of the orphan spirit is? A fear of rejection. The world, Jezebel's out there in the world, it's called peer pressure out there. But it comes into the church as well. Come on. Now share about Micaiah. Micaiah would have brought a message to Ahab that would have saved his life. He didn't want to hear what Micaiah had to say. He wanted to hear all the false prophets, what they had to say. Just tell me it's going to be wonderful. Tell me I'm going to have victory. Me and my old mate G-Horse are just about to go out there and take on him. Enemies. How's it going to turn out, guys? Oh, it'll be wonderful. You'll come back and it'll be party time. I tell you, Micaiah didn't give to the peer pressure. He didn't give to the fear of rejection. Jeremiah never gave to peer pressure, fear of pressure, the fear of rejection. Ezekiel now, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Of course, there's a lot more I could speak about in regard to the Jezebel spirit and how it operates and how it functions and how it gains into. But a lot of that stuff, it doesn't need to be said if we get hold of this.
That's right.
If we get hold of this. So I said, firstly, this morning I was going to share two things. First was that dream. Secondly, because I believe it is possible, and I've already said that, I'm guaranteeing you this evening, it's possible to create a firewall around the message and the ministry that the Lord has committed to us. A firewall that will safeguard us against the enemy's strategies and against his attempts at infiltration. This spirit doesn't have to gain entrance. And if we find it, we can remove it.
Yeah.
At the end of last month, some of you remember, at the end of March, Katrina and I went over to New Wine Church Tain. Pastor Mary over there invited us to come over. They're going to be praying in six leaders. Now these were all people who already were recognized as doing the work. And this is now time, maybe past time, because you've been trying to get us to go over for a while, to officially appoint them to the work. To recognize that they've been doing the work. Something happens in the spirit realm when that happens. Let me read a scripture to you. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 15 to 16. Paul says, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted, or addicted and ordained themselves to the service of the Lord's people, to the ministry of the saints. They have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people, to the ministry of the saints. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labours at it. Oh, I love people who join in the work. Oh, nothing brings more rejoicing to my heart than seeing people who say, I want to come in and join in the work and get roll up their sleeves and get in amongst it. If I tell you, if it brings joy to my heart, I'll guarantee you it brings a lot more joy to the Father's heart. Anyway, as I was, because you don't want anything just to be another ritual. You don't want it to be just anything to be just something that you just do because you think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Maybe you do. I don't. So we were over there, and after we had a good time of fellowship with Mary, and Saturday evening, and we went through to our room, and I was just seeking the Lord. I said, Lord, how do you want me to do this? How do you want me to carry this thing out? What's the best way to carry out this ordination tomorrow? I don't want it just to be another formal ritual. And he began to give me a strategy, and he led me, you know, to Exodus chapter 18, where Jethro, you know, Moses' father-in-law, begins to bring wisdom to him regarding delegation of authority. And I could read you the scripture there, but I go back and read it for yourself. It's in there. In Exodus 18, but Jethro, basically he advised Moses on the importance of delegating authority, and he said this to those that you recognize are able, those who fear the Lord. Come on now, those who fear God, those who love truth, and then he said something else: those who hate covetousness. Do you know that it's okay to eagerly desire to fulfill your potential in a leadership role? Also, it's a good thing to desire the office of a bishop, an overseer, an elder, a pastor. He said, that's a good thing to desire that. But it's not okay to covet someone else's leadership role.
That's right. No.
Do you understand the not so very subtle difference there?
Yes, definitely.
I said, it's okay to desire a leadership role within the church, but it's never okay to covet somebody else's. That's where all the schism and the strife enter in. That's where they begin to do their destructive work. That's where all the church splits come from. Hebrews 13:17, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. I love that, man. The message puts it this way: be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the condition of your lives and work under the strict supervision of God. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? That's a really good question. You see, because Paul said something in Ephesians chapter 6 regarding the armour of God that God has provided for us, and it's a part, I believe, that most people either overlook or just ignore or never get to, because they get stuck on the shield and the belt of truth and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and all that stuff, and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and the sword of the spirit, and oh yeah, we like that one, hallelujah. We like playing with them. Don't get too close. But Paul said something else. He said that part of our armour is praying for our leaders.
Yep.
Even as our leaders pray for us. I mean, how do we know that Paul prayed for the church? Because at least two or three of these prayers are written down. And they're pretty awesome prayers, by the way. He wasn't saying, keep these people in their place and let me be the top dog around here forever. No, none of that. That wasn't his prayer. Get these people off my back, they're trying to steal my position. No, that wasn't his prayer. Go back and read them, you'll be blessed. But it's a responsibility to pray for leaders, even as leaders are praying for you. I said I'm going to help you to build a firewall here. Jezebel has been successful. She has infiltrated. She was in this church in Thyatira, a good church. And this Jezebel spirit never gives up. Knows its time is short and is completely sold out to doing as much destruction and doing as much damage as is possible in the short time that it has left. Anyway, the strategy that the Lord downloaded in my spirit for this ordination prayer. Actually, it began in the evening, and I had a few hours sleep, and I woke up, and the Lord was bringing it clear to me. I brought a message, and then I said, now we're going to move on this morning to what we're here to do, and that's to pray in these new leaders and anoint them with oil and recognize the work they're already doing. The strategy that the Lord downloaded in my spirit for this prayer was to take Mary and Katrina, and then later myself, and place us in the center of a circle made up of the new leaders and their families. Not just the leaders, but their families. If any of their families were there, some of their children there, any of their family members also, create a circle around us. And then to invite the rest of the congregation and their families to make a bigger circle around the leader circle that had created a circle around us. What the Lord showed me as I began to picture this in my mind, he took me up, sat me down with him in the heaven, let me see from my position in the heavenly places, and I looked down, and lo and behold, what do I see? A target.
Wow.
Target. The wisdom of God was just flowing in this, and people are still talking about it. I didn't get this out of my toast of cheese the night before or nothing, I'll tell you. This was pure, unadulterated Holy Ghost, man. This was just the real thing. Because Katrina said after, it was amazing, everybody was involved. It wasn't a few people sitting there going, "Man, they ain't made a leader for." No, everybody was included, everybody was involved. That's the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
That's God trying to tell you something. Every one of you is a part of this.
Yeah.
Everybody has a part in the body of Christ. Nobody is redundant. Come on now. Yes. Like Jezebel's spirit wants to, yeah, come on. Yeah. Then the Holy Spirit showed me something, and I shared this with the people. I said, this is where the Lord is saying to you this morning. He's saying he wants you to understand that every one of us here today is of equal value to our Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. As His children, regardless of our role, regardless of our function, regardless of our status within the body of Christ, the family of God, every one of us here today is of equal value to our Father in Heaven. These people who have been brought in as leaders, this makes them of no greater value to our Heavenly Father. He doesn't see them of any more importance today than He does you. Any of you. Whether you're in the outer circle, the middle circle, or in the inner circle. But then I said this, because this is what He showed me. He then revealed it to me and I passed it on to the people that a leader is actually of greater value to the enemy. Do you hear what I'm saying? We're all of equal value to our Father in Heaven. But as soon as you assume a leadership role, you become of greater value to the enemy, because he knows if he can take out a leader, the collateral damage. We've seen it over and over again. Come on, folks. He knows that if he can target and take out a leader, then the damage is just... It can go on for years, generations even.
Yeah.
That makes leaders a more valuable target. And that's why the enemy specifically targets leaders with his high-ranking spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we are to position ourselves around our leaders to protect and support them. Because in protecting and supporting them, we protect and support ourselves. Listen to how Jesus described leadership, just in case we may have forgotten or we may have slipped our mind. Because I said, I'm going to give you a file. I'm going to give you something. It's getting good, you know, but it's getting better in a minute. Matthew 23:11-12. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. I've said this many times over the years, but being a leader doesn't mean you've been given more people to serve you. I know some folks have turned it into that, but that's way wrong. You've been given more people to serve.
That's right.
That's all. And I want you to hear this, because here's your firewall. Here's to determine whether or not, because somebody asked Katrina this morning, how do I know if a Jezebel spirit is maybe even gained entrance into my life, or maybe trying to function through me? Well, here's your answer. Here's your answer. And I want you to hear this, because Jesus brought this message to this church in Thyatira, because he said the only way to deal with this is to repent, is to allow the searchlight of God, of the Holy Spirit, to come and search us and know us. And if there's any of this stuff gained any foothold or inroad in our lives, then the only way to deal with this is to repent and give that stuff its marching orders. Here's your answer. Nice and simple. It's not difficult. Of course it is. Very straightforward. If you reach a point, if any one of us reaches a point where there is someone, anyone, that we are unwilling to serve, then our ministry just crashed and burned.
Wow.
Jesus never turned away anyone who came to him. If we reach a point where there's someone, we think that we somehow reach this place where there's someone, anyone, that we think we can reject as someone that we would be willing to serve, then Jezebel's already got a foothold in there. I've said this for the last 20 odd years. Until you become unoffendable, it ain't going to work for you. It's not going to work. Because as soon as you allow offence will cut people off. And when you start to cut people off in your willingness to serve them, then your ministry just crashes and burns. But oh no, Jezebel will just keep feeding you. She'll turn you into one of her prophets. either harsh and judgmental or soft and sentimental. Either a prophet of Baal or a prophet of Asherah. Either idolatry or immorality. Take your pick. See, the church works best when every one of us recognizes that every one of us is here to serve one another.
Yes.
Galatians 5, verses 13 to 15. Really done. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Mm-hmm. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another
yes.
in love.
Yes.
The next time you're tempted to think, I don't know if I really want to serve that person, tell yourself, I'm in love with them. I'm in love with them. My Father's in love with them. My Saviour, my Redeemer, my King, my Lord, He's in love with them. I'm in love with them. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. The whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbour as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. I don't know, I've had a few chunks taken out of me around the church. The enemy will try and gain an entrance into the lives of those who are called to support the leaders. You know what I mean? Or he will try and establish himself in the lives of the leaders themselves. Both of these strategies are designed to infiltrate and to do damage to the church that Jesus is building.
Yeah.
Every one of us, let's hear this evening. It's freedom in this. Every one of us here tonight, we are of equal value to our Heavenly Father. But if we are a leader, the only thing that's changed is we've become of higher value to the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, don't be too quick.
Yeah.
To grab a hold of that, what you think it's. Weigh up. Do I really want this? Am I ready for this? Am I equipped for this? Paul said, don't give this to a novice. He's not ready. You just stuck him on the dartboard.
Yeah.
Bullseye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't be surprised when he blows it. You see, when somebody becomes a leader, I could go over there somewhere, but I'll just leave that in it. Jesus. He knows that if he can pull us out, if he can deceive us, then he can also do damage to those who we are leading.
Yeah.
That's why it's always important to remember that every one of us, and whoever you are here tonight, every one of us has the potential to move in to the inner circle. Nobody's excluded.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's disqualified. But always be aware that promotion comes with greater vulnerability.
Yeah.
And the need for greater vigilance.
Mm-hmm.
And our security, do you want to hear it? Our security is inner humility.
Yeah.
Our security is inner humility. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
We've been looking at this afresh over the past few months. Because we're ministering here on the earth as the Holy Spirit anointed sons of men from the security of knowing that we are registered as sons of God in heaven. And the way to fulfill this ministry we've been given on the earth is to keep humbling ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Keep humbling ourselves. Keep humbling ourselves. That's our security. Her security is in her humility. Not in attaining to some great position where everybody looks at us and goes, whoa, look at that. I tell you, that's when you need to cut loose and run. Always been willing to go through that second humbling of death to selfish ambition. I've been preaching this for the last 25 years. You can have selfish ambition or you can have vision, but you can't have both. So that the church can continue to grow, the church can continue to increase without the creation and distraction of a celebrity culture.
Yeah.
I believe that everything flows through relationship. No second-hand relationship. First-hand relationship. Everybody that I need to be in relationship with, I'm already in relationship with, unless the God brings other people. Come on.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not going to get bogged down, and I'm not going to get fretful about all the relationships with the people that don't want a relationship with me right now. Because we can try and make it work, but it ain't going to work. I'm going to ask my Father in heaven, I'm going to ask him to give me the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life so that every relationship I'm in, something can flow to me and through me that will be a blessing to them. As I've said over and over again, relationships are the combustible material through which the fire of God spreads. When relationship stops, the fire stops.
Yes, yes.
And then you get something else. Or, I don't know. So I'm not willing to find out. I've decided it's something I don't need. Because if I needed it, I would have a relationship through which it could be supplied. Come on!
Yeah. Right.
Everything's supplied through relationship!
Yeah.
It's not rocket science. I've been in the Word all the time. Hallelujah. Let me just finish with this. Hallelujah. Elijah took out the false prophets of Baal and Asherah that Jezebel had brought in to replace the true prophets that she had cut off in silence. Now, of course, we need to remember this as well. You know, Elijah, his understanding of things was a little bit skewed. Because he thought he was the last one. He thought he was the only guy left. And God had to reveal him, there's 7,000 people that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. But you know what? God didn't give them the addresses of them all. He didn't say, and here's the list, go knock their door. No, he said, there's a guy called Elisha, you get down there first of all. I'm going to bring you into a relationship with him. Come on. You'll never be alone again. But by the way, there's also 7,000. And they've not bowed the knee to Baal or kissed him, and they're in a relationship with me, and I'm working in them and through them. But come on. You know how many times we want to try and pull you off into something else?
Yeah.
Anyway, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 to 6. It's prophetic. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Jesus said, if you're willing to understand it and willing to receive it, he said, John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah.
Oh, okay.
I believe there's another fulfillment of this prophetic word in our day and in our generation, in these end times, that the spirit of Elijah again is coming upon the church, upon all those who will receive it. And this is what he does. He turns the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. That's the protection. The heart of the father towards the children, and the heart of the children towards the fathers. That's your protection. Stay in that place. That was the image of that target. There's something flowing from the leaders out to the outer circles that needs to flow back from the outer circles back into the leaders. We love one another. We protect one another. We live in relationship with one another, and we allow the blessing of God to flow.
Yeah.
First things first, folks, because the main thing is to keep the main thing. The main thing. We are in these days, and I want you to encourage you tonight. These are days of blessing.
Yeah.
It's all good news. Jesus is building his church.
Yeah.
And he wants us to be engaged in the fulfillment of his vision.
Yeah.
And the way to get engaged with in the fulfillment of his vision is through our involvement in the outworking of his mission statement. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord. Stay in the Spirit. Build yourself up in the Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God, it says in Jude, by doing what? By praying in the Spirit. Edifying yourself, building yourself up, making yourself strong from the inside out. You know what that'll do? It'll keep you humble. It'll keep you humble. It'll keep you humble. Because you'll always have to acknowledge. And that the Lord said to me years ago, he said, You need to understand that you're here to reveal the Holy Spirit. When people say, how did that happen? How did you manage to do that? How were you able to survive that? How were you able to come through that? Well, I can't say it because I'm such a super dude. No, I'm the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit immediately points people to Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus immediately introduces them to the Father.
Yeah.
Where that broken heart is healed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Say enough, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let's stand up. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you again for your goodness, your faithfulness. Thank you for your incredible love towards us. Lord, help us, Lord. None of us, Lord, are perfect. None of us, Lord, are getting it all right. None of us are even all that close to that. But I thank you, Father, Lord, that you don't base your love for us upon a performance. So help us, Lord. Help us to come into that place, Lord, of receiving, Lord, just these little corrections that you long to bring in our lives. Not harshly and judgmentally, but not softly and sentimentally either, but just
yeah.
Help us to be open to your word, to be open to your Holy Spirit. Say, search me, know me.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. I'm not living according to the man of dust of condemnation, but the man, the heavenly man. There's nothing for me but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, and if any parts of your church, the church that you are building, of our brothers and our sisters, if any of it's a bit gone a bit askew or a bit off or a bit wrong, we ask you, Father. We implore you, Father. We plead with you. Lord, bring us to a new place of victory. Bring us to a new place of overcoming. Bring us to a new place of opening our eyes to see how this thing, how you designed this thing to work and to spread and to reach the whole world with this good news that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he went on the cross so that all men could be saved, healed, and delivered. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.